Well, my brother played Little League Baseball growing up. The place he played baseball was called 3-2, 3-2 pitch. The place was laid out like a four-leaf clover. They had these four fields all arranged like a four-leaf clover. Behind the backstop of each of these four fields, behind the stands, right in the middle, in the heart of all that action, was a concession stand, which is where I played my best game. It was a great setup. You could get up from your stand, and if there wasn't a line, you could run from the stands of any of those four stadiums, get to the concession stand, snatch a Snickers, plop down your change, and get back in the stands before the first pitch of the very next inning was played. It was fantastic. I can't count the number of summers, especially summer evenings, I spent in those stands watching my brother play his heart out there with his buddies. It's a great way to grow up. Sitting in the stands, watching your kid brother play baseball in the cool breeze of a late summer day with a cold Dr. Pepper bottle in your hand. Maybe this is where I started liking Dr. Pepper. Maybe one of the reasons I like Dr. Pepper is because it takes me back there in those stands. Wow. Once in a while, one of those kids stepping up to the plate would swing just right, pop, crack, and hit that ball. It would send it soaring for the fence. The crowd in the stands, we would jump to our feet, fans of both teams, on their feet, yelling, looking in joy and in, oh, yeah, because, well, oh, as that ball went for that fence, the next thing you almost always heard next was another crack, the windshield of a car, or the back window, or the side window, because on the other side of that outfield fence was the parking lot. Almost every time, crack. Yeah, ooh. And then, I can't count the number of times that I heard this. If I'd only known, I wouldn't have parked there. You know, right on the other side of that outfield fence, in front of every one of those parking spaces, there's this little bitty plaque that warned, but that was possible. But still, every time you'd hear somebody kick their foot in the dirt, walking out mumbling, if I'd only known, if I'd only known, which is something we say too, right? If I'd only known that dang pothole was there, I would have changed lanes. If I'd known that car had been, I wouldn't have turned into that dang car. If I'd only known you needed help, of course I'd have been there. If I'd have known that was you, God, if I'd only known. Which is what we hear in today's text too. If I'd only known, I'd have stayed up a little later. I'd have flipped the light on. Maybe I'd had the cops or we would have caught that thief in the night. If I'd have known. We like knowing, don't we? We have this little phone in our pocket that gives us access to information that we're still collecting. We love knowing. And we have a calendar, right? And we like to make plans, don't we? So we can be ready. You know, when company is coming out to our house out in Dripping, we clean the house on a different level. Not just the floor sweeping, toilet cleaning, bed making, dish doing kind of cleaning, but a different kind of glass cleaning on both sides of the windows, inside and out, dusting the top of the ceiling fans. Do you all do that when you know company's coming out to the house? Yeah, I see some of you nodding. Why do we do that? Especially do this when my folks are coming over or Lori's folks are coming over. You know, they had kids, thank goodness, or we wouldn't be here, right? They know what it's like to have kids. Both her parents and my parents had three kids. They know the storm that follows kids, a storm of activity and mess making, kind of like Charlie Brown's little buddy Pigpen, who has that cloud around him all the time. Messes follow kids. And it's okay with our folks. Never once have we heard them bring a lightning bolt down on a mess. Lori's folks and my folks are not critical people. Not one time have I seen them put a white glove on and dust across the top of our piano and say, oh, uh-oh. Not one time, not even close have they done that, ever. Why do we do this? But every time I hear they're coming, I shift into Olympic cleaning mode. And we could get the gold, y'all. We are good. The house looks brand new right before my folks come. Doesn't last very long. Why do we do this? My folks know we live on a little ranch. They know the number of little feet that are in and out our door all day, every day, all year long. But still, we tidy the place up. Am I still trying to earn my blessing? Is that why you do it? Are you trying to earn a blessing? Maybe we just really want to put our best foot forward. Maybe it's a sign of respect. Maybe it's our way of rolling out the red carpet like they do out in Hollywood. maybe it's a lot like what my grandma and my mom would do when company come over. They'd open up that chest and they'd bring out the good china and set it on the table. Is that what this text is trying to tell us? That every day is a good china kind of day? Every meal is a good china kind of meal. Is that what you hear in this text? Maybe. What if we every day attempted to put our very best foot forward? What if every day was a good china? Would that make the china less valuable? Would we be different? Would our living be different? How would our living be different? How would we be different if that was the way? Do you know anybody who every day puts their very best foot forward? Are you somebody who attempts every day to put your very best foot forward every day? Is our church? What in the world would that look like? What would the world look like if more of us, more often, put our very best foot forward more often? This year, our Advent theme is borrowed from a New York Times bestseller, first published back in 1984, 32 years ago. And it still sells well. Lori and I bought this book 9 years ago when we needed it. Maybe it still sells because, well, people are still getting pregnant. And because we really like knowing what to expect next, right? Even though we've got our mamas and our aunts and friends to tell us, we still like having a book and on our phone and in the computer. Our Advent theme, we tilted a little bit because the book has an I where we put the word we're. What to expect when we're expecting. Because, well, we're expecting y'all. Not Lori and I, although I think I'd be okay with that. Would you be okay with that? I think I would. Not anymore. Shouldn't ask that question from the pulpit. So you are expecting. Every one of you. The world is expecting a baby, and it's kin. This baby is family, and not just kin, but king. Not a king, the king. The king is coming again. Here we are. We don't have to wait 9 months, 28 days, right there. We know exactly when, we know exactly where. That never happens, right? Have you ever had any experience where you knew exactly where and when? Gabe and Hannah were on their way to the delivery room when little Lachlan said, I'm done waiting. And Hannah puts her hand on her belly and says, Gabe, pull over. And they pull over, and right on the side of the road, little Lachlan, right there in his mom and dad's hand, takes his first breath. You never know when. You never know. Love and kids, they don't need a calendar or a clock. Have no use for that thing. We teach them that, right? Why do we teach them that? So they can put a plan in their hand. You know that joke, what God does with our plan? Doesn't there a joke somewhere in there? God laughs when we make our plans. We don't just make plans. We take a tight grip on those plans, don't we? Have you ever found yourself choosing a plan over the person who is standing right in front of you? I have. And ironically, painfully, most of the time, I've put the dang plan in my hand for the very relationship, the person standing right in front of me that I'm now neglecting because I've got this plan in my hand. Isn't that crazy? It's dizzying, really. It happens here in this room. So focused on meeting God here and arranging things so you and God meet here. I've got a tight grip on this order of service, looking to see what's going to happen next, who needs to be where. Or in a children's sermon, I'm so focused on the message of the thing, but I don't notice that already sitting there with me, happy birthday, already there with us. Could that be the message of this text? Already with us. In ways that we don't even understand yet. I think it might be in there. Lori and I each took our own cars to visit the doctor 1 month before the babies were due. Only this appointment was taking a whole lot longer than all the other checkups before. When the doctor said she wanted to run one more test, Lori and I both looked at our watch. Doc, how long is this going to take? We both have meetings. We brought our cars here because we're going to go different directions. We've got meetings to get to. That doctor turned around and looked at me like I had asked the dumbest question of all time, ever in the history of questions. Squinting, she said, "You don't understand. You're going to miss your meetings." Huh? Still didn't get it. So then she stood up and she turned around. You remember this? Put her hand on my arm as if to bring me to the moment or something. "Today is the day, or maybe tomorrow morning." What? Ah, I couldn't hear it. Time stopped for me right there. Have you been in a place like that? Not even sound. Time stopped. My brain went rogue, off the chart. My heart might have heard what that doctor had just said, but my mind was nowhere near it yet. My mind was a roar of racing noise. I wasn't present to the moment. I wasn't present to that doctor. I wasn't present to my wife. I wasn't even present in my own life. I don't know where I went, but I was not there. Two times before, we had been pregnant and both ended in tears. I was lost in a whirl of what had happened and what could happen and what I hadn't done yet to be ready for these kids, because they're coming right now. If you can ever be ready. Grief, regret, fear, worry all begin moving in, pushing in, squeezing in, pushing everything else out, until for some reason my eyes were drawn to Lori's eyes. I'll never forget this. My eyes were drawn to hers, and she was looking at me with that smile that her eyes does. I don't know if you know this about Lori, but her eyes smile before her mouth does. And before I knew it, we were holding hands. Little pool of tear. She brought me back from wherever I had gone, beyond my expectation, all that worry. Love does that. Love makes us present in a way nothing else can, in a way beyond really explanation. Love makes us present to ourselves, to everyone around us. Somehow love hushes our worries like nothing else and points us again to hope. The same way your mom and dad's arms did for you when they held you as a child. The same way you held your kids, your grandkids. The same way they hold you. Is that what today's text is telling us? Wake up to the love that holds you like a child right now. Even now. In the unknown. Is this what you hear in this text? What do you think Jesus is trying to do with this text? What is he trying to tell us, teach us here? To pay attention? To pay better attention to the world, to the love? To watch the signs on the back of the fence? You know, I don't think that's what's in there. It might have been in Matthew's thinking, because Matthew, right before this, sets down this passage about fig tree, which is all about keeping your eyes peeled to the leaves withering and the weather changing. But then Matthew puts this one, which doesn't say that at all. This passage is really more about not knowing. You can't know. Nobody knows. He just tells us no one knows when. Not angels, not the Son of Man. Only God knows. So I don't think better sign reading is his lesson here. I think maybe this text is pointing us to the unknown, which is something we really don't like to spend any time around, because we like to know, right? But there is something to be had in the unknown. There's a kind of humility present in unknown that's not present in knowing. You've been around somebody who's a know-it-all, knows all the questions, knows all the answers, has already been there and done it, no way of really relating to them? How about being next to somebody who doesn't know? Who are you drawn to? Humility is present in you when you do not know. A way of being present that can only be discovered and enjoyed and received in the openness, in the blank space of the unknown, the unexpected. So how about today, trying something new? How about giving yourself the gift of not having to know what's next? free yourself from the bondage of expectations. Their expectations and your expectations to be present here and now. Not the deferred then and there, wherever then or there is going to be, whenever that is. But here and now. Which is hard to do because my belly says it's lunchtime. And I know that the sun only lasts a few hours, and I got to get those kids to the next, because they're going to go to college and then they're going to get married, right? But we come into this room and we walk up to this manger to remember that baby wasn't wearing a watch and is not asking us for our calendar. It's a different kind of living than we're used to. It may require a kind of rebirth in your way of thinking, in your way of living, kind of like having a baby. Don't even know all the things it's going to change, but we have them anyway, right? Which Lori did, thankfully, that same day, May 9th. At 6 o'clock, they came and rolled her into the delivery room and left me standing in that room. They said, "We'll be back for you in about 10 minutes. And I stood in that room that I had spent most of the day in, 6 hours in, stewing, worrying, not really knowing what was next, knowing, though, that I didn't know anything about what was about to happen. Sometimes in places like that, I talk to myself out loud. Okay, a lot of the time, I talk to myself out loud. It's how I talk to God, too. It isn't the dear God kind of prayer. I just say, what are we doing here? What's next? Are you here kind of prayer? This one was kind of to me. I don't know where God was in that, but I said something like, well, Mitchell, what are you going to do now? You got maybe 10 minutes here to do with whatever you want. Maybe the last 10 minutes you have in a long, 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 long while. And right then, it dawned on me that I had been in that very room 1 month earlier when Mary Morgan's granddaughter, Jessica, and Gabe introduced us to their firstborn child, Lucas, in that very room. One of my kids in the youth group, in that room. And then I noticed that there was some light pouring in the room from a window in the corner that I hadn't seen in the corner, not when I was there with Jessica and Gabe and Lucas, not all day with Lori 6 hours. The light was spilling into the room, which I was drawn to. Out the window, the sun was casting long shadows with the trees. And above the trees and the hills, the sky was on the horizon, turning orange and blue, and the clouds were white with some pink in it, lifting upwards. And lifting up out of me was a scripture that one of my Sunday school teachers had planted in me when I was younger than Madison Morgan. I will lift my eyes to the hills and their creator, from where my help comes. My help who never sleeps and never slumbers, who is always, ever over me. And the sun warmed my face, and the time went like that. And a lady put her hand on my shoulder and turned me around and then pulled that thing up over my ears to cover my mouth, walked me right next to Lori, and 9 minutes later, they laid Morgan right here. And more love than I knew the whole world held rushed into me. And then not much longer after they finished washing up Madison, they put Madison right here, and the same thing happened again. There are moments in your life that are beyond your wildest expectation. But you don't need me to tell you that. You know this all too well, don't you? So when you don't know what to expect, how about choosing hope? It's what his mom and dad did, I think. It's what he does still. It's why we come here. Will you pray with me? Thank you for being a God of surprises. Calm our hearts to trust you, that you've not only got our back, but you got our whole life. Come be born in us again now. In your Son's name we pray, and in your love, dear God, teach us and help us live. Amen.